This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Well, 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 it's the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, and we're back with another sweet bong hit of tech, inhaling as much classy nerd news as possible and exhaling for 40 minutes.
You've outdone yourself there.
Cheers. Joining me in this questionable metaphor are Samrata Sarkar, David Price and Christina Mercer. Lots of meaty topics this week, so it's good that you lot are world-leading experts on your chosen topics.
Totally.
Don't do that.
Oh, where we go. So bear with me a minute, Samrata, but accelerated by TV programs like Black Mirror and the ramblings of unstable egomaniacs like Elon Musk, there is a growing interest in the so-called digital afterlife. As we continue to move our lives online, what will our digital legacy be? Who can Bruce Willis leave his iTunes library to? What happens to our tweets? And can we be preserved as chatbots? Samrata, am I on the wrong track? What is going on?
Well, so basically this whole... The industry, the digital afterlife industry, is a space that is growing but isn't really regulated right now. And so there was a recent study that was published in Nature by two researchers. I hope I get their names right. Luciano Floridi and Carl Omen from the Oxford Internet Institute. So basically their concern is that you have all this information and all this these digital assets about people that is basically being commercialized.
Yeah.
And the people who are obviously deceased, they can't control what's happening to their information. So there's just this bit of, you know, a struggle really between commercial use and like a respectful use.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because rather than data that we don't have access to, that is sort of, we'll talk about later about GDPR and how we can control what companies have data on us. This is more, say, all your Facebook uploads, what will happen to them, who has control over them, and there's no regulation at the moment?
It's really limited. So what they're suggesting is to treat it in the same way you would treat like archaeological remains, in the same respect. So they've turned to this document called the International Council of Museums Code of Professional Ethics, and that's basically a system of just how you handle remains. So, and that's more so with like archaeological remains that you'd find, and so basically applying the same set of standards to digital remains and the same sense of dignity.
Okay, does the paper suggest how that would be implemented? So, say somebody passed away, what would happen to their information? Is it, I mean, would it have to be controlled by the individual company? Or would there be a blanket rule for all your online?
Well, it's just that like people should be aware of what would happen to their information after they die. And also you have different companies that almost take your digital footprint and can, you know, potentially use that to turn you into a chatbot after you die. So you can like talk to your dead relatives.
Yeah, this did happen.
That's terrifying.
There was a guy, I think The Verge did a big piece on it maybe last year. A guy was hit by a car and died, age 33. And his girlfriend took, she got all of her family, his family and friends, to send her all the texts and emails he'd ever sent to them. And then she just fed it into this neural program. And it, like, spat out basically like a mirror of his personality in a chatbot.
I think that's so dark. I can't get on board
with
that.
It sounds like I said before, an episode of Black Mirror. But that one's actually true, though. And that program has dealt with sort of how we deal with digital remains.
Yeah.
At the moment, if somebody dies, you can make their Facebook page a memorial page, can't you?
Right.
Mm.
But then Facebook still has that data and it can be accessed. It just acknowledges that they've died.
Yeah.
So is it really bold just to delete, though? Doesn't it?
Is it really what, sorry?
Bold to just delete, like?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, maybe I'm just being a bit harsh, but I don't know if I would care about my digital assets after I go.
Well, it's more so, I think the concern is, like, what the companies who own that information do with your digital assets.
So it could be more to, like, prevent them
from exploiting your information. And so, like, emotionally manipulating your relatives and friends.
That's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear awful stories, don't you, of people getting messages from deceased loved ones or reminders of deceased loved ones' birthdays and all sorts of things popping up in their Facebook newsfeed that really sort of trigger bad memories because they thought that was in the past.
Yeah.
And it says, your dad wants to talk to you or something. It's like, my dad died last year. So, you know, so it's awful sort of stuff like that.
Yeah.
That is really handled very badly. And I don't think, I think this is right. It hasn't really been sort of tackled properly. We're in such a new industry, we forget this a lot of the time, that we haven't really dealt with the fact that after a few decades,
so much digital. It's depressing, yeah. But then I think, to be fair, just as a whole, we don't deal with death well anyway. So I wonder if, that example of feeding it into a chatbot obviously isn't still not really dealing with death well. So
no, that is a bad example of trying to get over it, I suppose. Grief is a funny thing.
Yeah.
But does this paper go on, sorry, to suggest what the solution is? Don't worry if the answer is no. What do you think the solution should be?
Well, I do agree that that space needs to be regulated so that you're not being exploited. Because, I mean, you don't really have a say at that point, but then, you know, you don't want your information to sort of affect the people around you in a negative way. Like one of the concerns is, like, when you have AI running your chatbot, you know, what prevents it from, like, including hateful speech, stuff that you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
But it's sort of something goes wrong in the algorithm, and then suddenly you have like an online ghost of yourself just saying really hateful things.
Can you imagine how awful that would be?
Yeah.
Like if you had some memorial chatbot and it became really
like that shit. Microsoft
like
bot.
Like Tay, yeah.
Tay, who went all Nazi, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she just learned the internet really quickly. Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. So this is slightly different from what I was hinting at the beginning. Christina's boyfriend is not Elon Musk, but did he coin the term neural lace?
I think so. He has a company called Neuralink. So yeah, neural lace is really interesting, actually. I think I spoke about neural lace once on a podcast, this podcast.
Shout out.
Yeah.
And that's what you like?
You inject this sort of like lace-like fibre into your brain, and then it sort of becomes, it meshes over your brain, and then over time it becomes part of your brain. And then the idea is you can download your thoughts and your being beyond your physical body.
When's the movie coming out?
it's quite scary, isn't it? But that's the idea.
So it's kind of like you give your own living brain computing abilities.
So you could, well, I mean, you couldn't, but you could live forever. You couldn't.
Right. This is another thing that we talked about on the pod, and I can't remember the name of the company, but I think you were on it, David, with that company that claims that they will... It's a process that kills you, but then turns your brain into, like, this glass.
And they had no guarantee that they would ever actually...
Oh, so you can't do it once you're dead. You have to be alive.
The process has to kill you.
they can't God. Wait for you to die for another reason.
And they, like, inject you with this thing, and your brain, like, is frozen, but then you might technically exist in, like, the digital world.
So someone signed up for that?
Your memories are preserved. Some people supposedly have signed up for it. But, yeah, the process is... Anyway.
If they could guarantee to me that I was going to die in 5 minutes' time, then I'd sign up for it.
I think it's a bit egotistical, though, isn't it? Like, oh, yeah, my thoughts must live on.
Yeah, like brain in a jar.
That's so you, David.
It would be a shame
for
the world.
For humanity,
posterity,
yeah.
To manage without mine.
Because it's always been joked about, like, in popular culture, like, Austin Powers was frozen, wasn't he? In the future, and, like, Richard Nixon's head in Futurama. Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
What? He's dead.
No, but isn't he?
I know what Disney's did.
Right. What was the? What was the?
He had himself frozen.
I thought he was frozen.
So he carry on his anti-Semitic thoughts. Into
yeah.
Future.
I did not know that. Is that true? Is that what Frozen's about? I've not seen Frozen.
Yeah, it's all about Walt Disney's frozen anti-Semitic thoughts.
Let me rein it in. So, do you think, Samrata, that this will be regulated soon? And if it is, will it be a government initiative, or is this going to have to be something that the companies themselves will just have to sort of take a moral stance on?
So that might be asking a lot. I mean, when have companies ever sort of taken a moral stance?
Yeah, true.
I think, like, you know, right now, privacy is such a hot topic. and you can already sort of see companies struggling with their, you know, ethical obligations versus their commercial ones.
That's true.
when you think of, like, the afterlife, I think that for me, I feel like that's probably, like, a step two, I would think. I think right now, probably the priority is for the people who are still alive and using the accounts.
Yeah, you've probably gotten to a good point there, that the fact that as this technology is so young, the demographic of people who use it is relatively young. Like David was suggesting, in maybe two or three decades' time, when, like, we all start to die, companies might actually want to think a bit more about how it treats those people, because it's going to have to attract a whole new generation of users. And if they see people, you know, turning into Nazi chatbots... But then also, just like normal things, like like you might want to be able to easily take your Twitter feed down, and it exists forever. It's there's so many things, I don't know.
Mm.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a meaty topic, and I think one that's actually difficult to talk about because we just don't know. But the digital afterlife, don't get a glass brain, everyone. just maybe don't tweet that racist thing.
Yeah.
And then you won't have to worry about it.
That's good advice anyway.
Thank you. don't be a Nazi. I'm going to ask you the normal question that we ask everyone. Samrata, cyborgs forever or death is more clever?
Oh my goodness.
Ooh. You're thinking about it, I know my answer immediately.
Death is more clever.
Okay, cool. David?
Death is more clever. Yeah. Are you asking, do we want to live forever as horrible
cyborgs forever cyborg or... chatbots? Death is more clever.
Yeah, I think death is more clever.
Okay. Well, we won't know because we'll be dead.
Yeah.
Well, imagine not even knowing that you were a cyborg. I'd want to know.
Is that the worst
part
of it?
Yeah.
There's a film about that.
Is there? Sweet.
Maybe watch that and then watch those.
I have all the great ideas after they've been taken. We'll be right back to talk more meat with net neutrality. Christina, net neutrality is a huge topic of conversation, but only really across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the skinny of this version of web hell?
Nice.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So yeah, you probably have heard of net neutrality. It was first coined in 2003, but basically it refers to a concept that all data on the internet should be treated the same by the internet service providers. So they shouldn't be able to block content, charge more for certain content. They shouldn't be able to, put their services before the services of others.
Throttle speeds.
Yeah, exactly. They shouldn't be. Yeah, the idea is that they shouldn't be able to create like a fast lane and a slow lane. So, you know, if you can afford the fast lane internet, you get it. And if you can't, then you're stuck with some rubbish slow internet. For example, like how like Sky Bundles works. Without net neutrality, it could be that you pay $5 a month for video content, $5 a month for social media, $10 for what, email, I don't know. So it's that sort of thing, really. It's quite concerning, if I'm honest, because it gives the internet service providers a lot of control over what you see. Yeah. And you sort of feel like you lack freedom on the internet. The net neutrality initial regulations, which were brought in by the Obama era, was that it should be a free platform, essentially, in terms of content. It shouldn't be restricted, for higher paying customers. But now, I think it was December, the FCC, which is a Federal Communications Commission, which essentially was led by the Republican Party, they want to put regulations over the top, which basically will get rid of the net neutrality, and that will mean that data isn't treated equally on the internet, that it is like a tiered system, that it is going to charge people differently. And it, I don't know, it just feels kind of icky to me.
Sounds very icky. Why would Republican Party want to do that? Is it because it is this classic thing that we always say, like with the Zuckerberg trial, like they don't understand because they're old?
Yeah, they love the idea of regulating the internet, which as a concept is hilarious. Like, what are they doing? And as well, I think in terms of money, like obviously you can charge people more. The arguments for these, you know, getting rid of net neutrality is that, it will give the internet service providers more incentive to improve services for their high paying customers. Another one is that, for example, I don't know if this exists, but say you have like a smart, like internet connected, I don't know, life saving device like a pacemaker,
yeah,
that they could put that device in the fast lane and then say your email or other things in the slow lane, meaning you get a quicker service on these things. Mm. Whereas, you know, I mean, I obviously lean we should keep net neutrality, so the people who want to keep net neutrality and keep the freedom on the internet as it is, they argue that, it's sort of punishing people that don't have as much money. Like, it is something that's so fundamentally necessary, and it's quite cruel. It's anti-competitive because it means that, say, you're with a certain internet provider, they'll say, you should use this video content thing over the others, even though they might necessarily not be the best one.
So they could like charge you slightly less to make you use their services.
Well, exactly, yeah. And they you know, can push certain things on you that you wouldn't have before. It just seems kind of, you know, muddying the waters to make them look deep. I think they're trying to say, it's going to provide you a better service, but it isn't. Mm. So the reason why, the date set for this to actually happen is the 11th of June. But last week, the US Senate voted on whether to keep net neutrality as it is. So one tier good. Or change it and regulate it and have it, you know, tiered pricing systems and stuff like that. And the vote came in, so it's 52 votes to keep net neutrality and 47 opposed. So that passed, thankfully, that passed. So they did vote to keep net neutrality.
That doesn't add up to 100. Which shirker didn't even bother to vote?
Well, exactly. But the interesting thing was three Republicans switched. So basically, it was pretty much all Democrats vote to keep net neutrality. And then pretty much the majority of Republicans voted to regulate the internet.
And then a couple of absolute lads.
So I don't have their names, actually. I should have given them a shout out. three Republicans jumped over and But, I mean, people were really happy and were rejoicing. But it still doesn't necessarily mean that it won't come in. So it still needs to go and get approved by the House of Representatives and by Trump, who obviously is a Republican and will Annie's, you know, probably hates him. You know, maybe if we say that it will restrict his Twitter usage, he might oppose, but I don't know.
Yeah, so
like, it still has to go through the House of Representatives and get approved by Donald Trump. So it's still not like home and dry, whatever the phrase is.
Because the thing about net neutrality that I just can't get, well, I can get my head around it, I understand it, but that is just nuts that not only will the internet service providers charge you for the sort of segmented things, but they, the things we use, like you say, kind of inverted commas for free could be charged for. Like they, the internet service provider could say, oh, you have to pay $10 a month for Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. They could section it. So right now you get, you pay for your broadband over there, and then you get to use the internet and get to use whatever you want on it. But if they regulated it and they got rid of net neutrality, yeah, it literally, you could be like $10 a month for social media package. And that means that is essentially, yeah, it makes all these free services paid for.
Yeah.
So a big companies, for example, Google and Facebook they want net neutrality. But I imagine it's because, I mean, if Facebook wanted to charge, they would probably do it themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of icky. I mean, it's when we, because obviously that's happening over there. But I mean, it could happen over here. We do like to copy things. But I always think that it sort of feels like that's happening with fiber and the regular connection over here. Because I moved from normal to fiber, and it just felt like they flicked a switch. And they essentially are, really.
That is,
and you're paying for
doing
a premium. So we've essentially already got fast lanes and slow lanes over here. If you pay a bit more, you get fiber and it's faster.
I think they can kind of get around that argument because there's this whole narrative that you get with internet providers where they're like, oh yeah, you don't have fiber in your area at the moment, and so then like you don't really have the choice, so then if you do have fiber in your area, so to speak, and you choose to have it, then it's kind of not like
you're better than that, Henry.
It's kind of like it's not imposed upon you because they sort of claim that you can have it, you don't have to have it. But yeah, now the fact that also there are some mobile bundles as well, I don't know if does net neutrality affect mobile tariffs as well.
I'm not sure on that. I know that, for example, in other like countries that have a similar, like I know Portugal, their internet providers also do mobile bundles as well.
Yeah, because I think there are some over here where if you reach a certain number of gigabytes, and after that your service is throttled to a certain speed on certain tariffs. So
yeah,
and that's at because you pay less.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's just really, I just don't think it's fair to like, oh, you pay less, so you'll get like a slower speed, especially because it will feel like to people that they're getting something taken away from them. Like, because they've had freedom and they've had all these platforms there, and it's been a flat rate. And it just seems like, even though they're saying, oh, you know, if we regulate it, it will get the services will improve, we can prioritize more important connections. It just always boils down to money. And I just think that's where it's, you know,
it's more like it's from the other direction, though, because I think at the moment the reality is that the more you pay, the faster the broadband you get. I think that's, and you know, you can shop around and go to a more expensive provider, whatever, get faster speeds. But it's the services or the websites you go to,
like segmenting
A smaller website will then get discriminated against in terms of speed. And so if they're trying to compete with the BBC website or Facebook or whatever, they'll have even less of a chance because they also get deprioritised traffic.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then so the internet service providers, they're the ones choosing what the more premium websites are.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to look at what your history is and say, oh, they go to this site really often, let's make that a premium? Do you know what I mean? It's just...
And would it be the service providers who would have to sort of segment what a website even is? Like,
well, yeah, exactly. It just seems...
It just seems impossible.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous.
So many websites just come under MISC.
I know.
And they charge you $50 a month for MISC.
I think like the other risk is you will definitely have people who are from communities who can't afford more expensive.
Well, exactly,
And that's just going to limit their use.
Yeah, it is. It's limiting them. And then you're sort of limiting them to... I mean, we all... like, it's basically you educate yourself online. Like, you look things up. But if you're on the slower tariff because you can't afford it, you know, you're going to miss out on that as well. It's just like another way to like divide people based on how much money they have. It's bloody annoying.
that was really passionate. That was really good stuff.
So 11th of June is the date.
So that's the date, but I mean, like I say, the US Senate has voted to keep net neutrality. So it could be that It goes, you know, they say, all right, you guys have voted. House of Representatives is like, fair, I'll take your vote. It'll be fine. I'll pass it through. Or it could get stopped by Trump. Or
so I'm a bit confused by the process then. So the existing status quo is net neutrality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what they were trying to push through a bill to get rid of it.
Yeah, so
and they voted to block it. So does that mean it's going to go back and they're going
to
start?
No, there was a vote as to whether to, like, say, do we need to revise the rules that are currently in place? And they voted that no, we don't.
Yeah.
So the rules currently in place. Donald Trump can veto
because
it
still then has to
bill.
Get approved.
Yeah,
he has to approve a lack of action.
Yes, yeah.
Because if the original bill was let's change it and have net and get rid of net neutrality. And that will be a bill, and I can see then that they all have to ratify it, and he has to...
Well, with the net neutrality...
Sorry, I don't know anything about politics, so maybe apparently.
When Obama brought it in, the net neutrality, it was a net neutrality regulation, and the regulation was that it's sort of a free platform, free, like, in terms of flat platform.
Gotcha. A flat form.
Nice. So then, yeah, when they want to get rid of that and...
Turn it into a twat form.
Yes, exactly. Which is not good. So, yeah.
So what do you think will happen? Because it can get so political now, because like we said, they were a right bunch of lads for voting the other way and changing it, but that could be just purely political. That they want Trump to notice that they've got more power in the party than he deems.
And then they get some sort of...
Some payoff to change their mind.
Horse trading in their state.
But there's been such an outcry of like you know, the people are outraged, and loads of celebrities are getting on saying like, we need to keep net neutrality, like we need to keep the current state we have. So I just think it's such a bizarre thing to do, but...
Surely it's all just based on the greed of the FCC.
Yeah, probably. I really hope it doesn't happen. It might do. Because of the Senate vote, I'm hoping that's an indication that it won't. So, fingers crossed, basically.
Fingers crossed. Christina, net neutrality or face reality?
Net neutrality.
Good answer, David.
Definitely net neutrality.
Samrata?
Second that, yeah.
Cool. Well, we are for neutrality.
Woohoo!
Which is a weird thing to think about.
Mm. We're passionately in favour of neutrality.
Yes. Thank you. That's scary. It doesn't affect us yet, but it might well do.
Well, the US.
Yes.
Will it affect us when we contact websites in America? Like if I
good point.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't think so.
My ISP wouldn't be a big
I don't know. I was like, yeah, good point. I was like, actually, no, I don't think it will.
I don't know. Now I know. Coming up next, another round of I think I know, but I don't know, with GDPR. If you don't work in media, then lucky you. And also, you probably haven't been bored to tears by talk of the General Data Protection Regulation, also called GDPR. Under law from Friday, companies will have to be more transparent about the data they hold on us all. And David, am I right in thinking there's an opt-out button?
It should be an opt-in button, really.
Ooh.
But it depends. the big news is that finally, after a year, more than a year of getting ready for it...
I love the excitement in your voice, by the way.
People, you know...
You might as well just go...
You know, commenters on my YouTube video, they complain that my voice puts them to sleep. So
often it's not complaints. They like your lilting tones.
They enjoy drifting off to your dull
MacBook
monitor. I'm going to try and make this a bit more exciting. On Friday, GDPR comes in.
Who's this
means...
guy? No way.
Exciting.
I'm awake.
Now we're getting too excited. That's the point at which they can start getting in trouble for storing data. Without consent and processing data without consent. And so we're getting this flurry of desperate, panicking emails from all the companies who hold data on us saying, please, you have to give us consent by Friday, otherwise we'll stop sending you marketing emails about couches. And
I got an email from Heathrow Airport saying it wanted to keep in touch. I thought it was very sentient of it.
Yeah. It's great. I'm going to get, like... So much less
and the best,
spam.
The best thing for the consumer, right? For everyone in the world, in the EU, is that if you just ignore those emails, then it's fine.
Yeah, they go away.
They go away.
Sort of.
I can't wait for Zing Zing to stop emailing me about their special Tuesday boxes.
Could you not have just got in touch a year ago?
Oh, giggle it.
No. Did you just make up Zing Zing?
No, it exists. It's a.
Isn't that that name of that panda they gave birth?
That was Ling Ling.
Oh.
No, I made that up.
Probably is true.
Yeah.
It's debatable whether they will all stop. Firstly, because the laws and the consequences of ignoring the laws are basically untested, so we don't know how harshly the commissioners will come down on people who do this. There's quite a strong suspicion that there'll be a lot of leeway because everybody is trying to deal with this, and nobody, it seems, has completely got on top of this. So I think you can get fined like €20 million as a corporation for breaching the regulations, or more if you, I think it's like 4% of your revenue if it's more than 20
million. Do you think they're going to do that thing where they use like a company as an example and give them like the maximum and then like
make an example?
Yeah.
That would be so
maybe
harsh.
That's why everyone's
I hope
so
it's
scared.
Not our company.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
So at the moment, like if a company like, oh, I'm not going to use Zing Zing because no one knows what that is. So if Topshop has my email address.
That, in some ways, that sounds just as made up. Do you only use rhyming companies?
Fine.
I can't think of any other rhyming company.
No, I was trying to think of one. That'd been too good. Fine, but if a company has my email address, say, and it's emailed me because it has my email address, to be like, can we please still email you? And you say no, or you ignore the email. Do they have to get rid of that record, or
no,
can they keep it?
Not necessarily. No. So keeping data counts as processing. Processing as a legal definition, which is a bit confusing. So if they haven't got the right to process it, then they would have to delete it. But there are existing consents. That's the thing. You don't have to. This isn't day zero. You don't have to get a whole new set of consents. It's just that interpretation of consent has to be more explicit now and more specific as well about what it's used for. So if they have the right to send you emails right now, they will probably have the right to send you emails in the future, which is why it's all a bit iffy. All these emails, if they have permission to send me an email, then that's fine. If they don't, why are they sending me an email asking me if they could send me emails? It's like you get into
you
a sort
email
of
too much.
Legal loop.
Email.
So a lot of them, I think, will just carry on
afterwards.
They're just trying to get as watertight a consent as they can and using the threat.
Yeah.
When they think it is a threat of we won't be able to get in touch with you.
Some of them are sneaky as well. Like some of them are just, if you don't click this button, we can't email you anymore, which seems honest. But some of them are, they've said, oh, we still want to be in touch with you, and you have to click on it, and then you have to click something else, and then you have to manually enter your email address to unsubscribe from it. They're just making it difficult as possible so that they can say you've opened the email and you haven't done what it said, so they can still contact you.
Well, to me that seems very iffy. But like I said, we don't know how harsh they will be on that particular kind of shady practice.
So there's the email avenue, but then also when you visit some websites, or a lot of websites now, you might well get a pop-up or something, a bit like how you would to accept cookies, right? To say something confusing.
Well, you remember
don't not want to receive these things.
Do you remember when that cookies law came in and every website had to have a "we now store cookies"?
And everyone was all like, what's this? But now you just click, all right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's frightening how quickly it becomes furniture and you just ignore it and click through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has anybody else here used Reddit?
Yeah.
Not extensively.
Have you noticed that they've become really annoying to use lately? Because like every time you go on the homepage, you have to click through, are you a member? Sign in.
Yeah, why is that?
And I'm not a member, I just lurk.
Lurk. Lurk or lurk?
I lurk.
Oh, good.
I lurk.
Yeah, it's totally you. You seem like a lurker, but I just wanted to clarify.
That's the term for being on a website and not being... Anyway.
We thought you said lurk. She was joking.
Oh, I see.
You did say lurk.
Lurk. I'm not from Hull. Lurk. Anyway.
He saw the joke now.
Let's move on. I've completely trampled all over it. I was wondering if they started doing that as a GDPR thing, because they want to make everybody sign in and then they
Well, think of how many users they have. They must be... maybe worried or something.
I don't know. But basically, it's a double-edged sword, because from this Friday, yes, your email inboxes are likely to become a lot less full of shit, but also the internet may be very unpleasant to use for a little while. And I was thinking of going offline for a few months, but...
You can't do
can't
it.
Can't really do that for my job.
Who's going to tweet about cricket constantly? Who's going to do
it? You wound me.
Sick burn.
Wound me. But also, even if I did, when I came back, my computer still wouldn't have all the cookies, so I'd still get all the messages. So I don't know. It's a fun time to be alive in terms of data compliance, because nobody knows what is going to happen. Nobody knows how strict they're going to be in their interpretation of it. And frankly, nobody's really sure what the law means.
No, that's what I think. No, nobody really, really knows. But are there companies that are like springing up being like, we can send us all your stuff and we'll make you compliant? Is that a thing that's happening?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are they certain that they can make companies compliant?
No, they won't be certain. They probably know better than other people because they put the the legwork in. And it's sort of come in, it's been stepped, hasn't it? It came in for the largest companies first,
yeah,
and then medium, and then later on you all have to get your sort of regulatory compliance in order. But I don't think anybody really knows exactly how it's going to shake out.
So what could happen is that if net neutrality is repealed, we'll have to pay £50 a month for our digital afterlife services.
Mm.
And if we forget to click on the email, we're going to die and then it won't matter anyway.
That was beautiful. you linked them all up.
That was top work.
Morbid.
I love that shit.
What do you think, Samrata? Are you worried about GDPR? Clearly not.
Well, I do think it's going to be one of those things that we'll all just get used to anyway. I think it's more so concern for the companies than for the average user.
It's costing them a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
But this is an EU thing, as I was saying to Lewis earlier. Is that going to mean that as soon as we leave the EU, that's it, all the GDPR compliance will be no longer relevant?
I don't want to talk about Brexit. I'm too sad.
It is pretty sad. But like, let's try and think of it in terms of an upside to Brexit. GDPR.
Companies can use my data however they want.
Heathrow Airport can email me again. God.
What's the worst email anybody's received? Have you guys not been getting
really stuck out?
Oh, no, actually, I got one from... I always get emails from Stockport County Council.
Of course you do.
So does Matt, actually. I don't know why. And they said, like, we don't want to say goodbye. And I sent one, and I was like, yes. So I'm looking forward to not being on that.
You're going to say goodbye to Stockport County Council.
Goodbye. I love you.
Somebody... Chris Finn, why don't I want to say his name? A guy I know on Twitter mainly. He got one from Wagamama, and the subject line was "Don't say toodles to noodles."
Oh, you got to keep that.
Are you kidding me? I would opt out.
I rate that highly. Yeah.
That's pretty low down. There's a palpable air of desperation about a lot of them.
Yeah,
they really. But
I often think this is a thing our colleague Ed brought up. I don't know why they're all so desperate, because those emails, as Ed said, are specifically targeted to the people that they know don't engage with their stuff anyway.
Yeah. It's just going to clean their databases.
We're not like valuable to them as consumers if they're sending us emails because they know that we don't ever click on their emails. So to them, like,
that's true.
We're not going to suddenly be like, yeah, I want some half-price noodles. You're just going to say toodles.
You say that, I do quite like.
Noodles are great.
Wagamama's is really good.
But if they write toodles.
What about what? Zing Zings?
Yeah.
They do noodles.
What does they do?
Can I say someone knows what Zing Zings is?
What is it?
It's like a noodle, I don't know, like Asian food, like Pan-Asian.
Takeaway thing.
Takeaway, yeah. It's nice. It's a bit like walk and go, if you have that down here. Do you have that? Walk and walk?
We have walk to walk. Or is it walk to walk? Which way around
walk
would you
walk? Walk to walk, I would reckon, don't you think? You get it from the walk and then you walk away.
Walk and walk.
It should be called walk this way.
Walk this way. That's a good one.
Woke to walk.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. I don't like the standards of puns in this country.
Well, I'm sorry, David.
Bloody hell, David.
Then you're going to love the question I'm about to ask.
Yes, here we go.
GDPR or STFU?
I thought you were going to do like GDPR or GDPNR. I don't know.
That's the level I would have gone with. Something that rhymes. I'm going to say STFU. I think I'm getting a bit sick of it.
Samrata.
STFU to the laws or to the
emails? Yeah, just everything. Police. To me, I don't mind. Like, to the police.
Sure, let's go with that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Zing Zings will not be getting your custom.
Wing Wing.
Longer.
Wing Wing. There's a restaurant by my gym. It's called Wing Wing. That rhymes.
Okay.
That does rhyme.
Wing Wing.
David also goes to the gym. He's ripped.
The sign on Wing Wing says "Brushed with Glory," which is not rude, but sounds like it probably might be
to you.
Yeah, I don't know why.
To nobody else. Thanks. We held it together after probably some intricate editing that I will do in about half an hour. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you, listener, for battling through that. Have a look at your emails. Don't buy any more noodles. Mm. Have a think about whether or not you want to live in the US. And maybe don't tweet that racist thing and you won't have to worry about the digital afterlife. I don't know if that advice was any good, but that's what you come here for, the japes. I'm riffing.
Goodbye.
Enjoy riffing.
Thank you. This is a slightly earlier pod. Hope you're liking the Tuesday pick me up, or probably Wednesday because I'm incredibly busy. And we will be back next week to talk about more tech things that might interest you. So on that cliffhanger, I'm going to stop talking. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.